Hello and welcome to another Artist Spotlight. My name is Annie. This is a Shyly Out Loud production. Today I have Victoria Fragoso, a local Tacoma artist, and we are going to talk about some of her songs as well as some things that she has coming up that you guys need to be excited about. We have been playing her music on our station for a while now, and we look forward to hearing more. So without further ado, here's the interview. Hi, Victoria.
Hi, thank you so much for having me, Annie.
Well, thank you so much for being available today to come out and record this. I just want to start off with the basic demographic information. What would you like the people to know about you?
Well, I am an artist here from Tacoma. I went to Bellarmine Prep back in the day, and I have purchased a home in Hilltop, Tacoma.
Okay.
About 5-8 years ago. I don't know. Time flies. But I am local and I love Tacoma. You can probably tell by my music videos, but I play mostly independent folk music, but piano is my primary instrument. And I've been learning ukulele. It's a little bit about me.
Ukulele, huh?
Yes. Guitar was a little too many strings, so ukulele, four strings is good.
Now, I have learned that you have some Hispanic influence in your music. Can you let us know how that influences you and a little bit more about your heritage?
Yeah, so my parents, I'm Mexican American, and my father was born in Mexico, and my mom was born in the U.S., but my grandma came to the U.S. just 1 month before she was born from Guadalajara. And so I'm very proud of my heritage. One of the best things about growing up was being with family. We're huge on family, as a lot of cultures are. My love of family definitely drew me closer to my heritage of being Mexican American. Lots of wonderful music growing up with wonderful percussion. Ana Gabriel is one of my earliest influences. She is incredible. I don't know exactly that I'd compare her to anybody, but she is an incredible vocalist. Grew up on lots of Shakira. Love her music. Yes.
As you do. That transcends culture.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, just what a voice. So I've always been influenced by strong women singers, usually with lower voices and registers, because I did choir for many years growing up, and alto was my assignment, and having a lower voice, just you don't get to sing the melody that often. You're always working on harmonies and things like that, and so that's definitely been an influence in my music as well. I love harmonies.
Well, I've seen that in your stuff that I've listened to so far, and the fact that you do have with the alto, I didn't know that about you. That's an interesting fact, but you do have the voice that almost anybody can sing to.
Like,
once you learn the lyrics, once you get the lyrics in there, her music is so easy to listen to. I equate it to coffee shop music. So if you're into that, I'm really into the coffee vibe. What it is, or at least what I've taken from it, and correct me because you are the artist, is it has different women who have half of their face painted in a skull. It looks sort of like the Day of the Dead art style.
Yes.
And they turn their faces, and it's very, there's a sense of family. There's a lot of sense of the video. I'm going to spoiler alert, don't listen if you don't want a spoiler, but the end ends with one of the women at a graveyard, and she puts down a flower,
an offering basically, but yes.
And the video just cuts out there. It's a really good, really good video. It says something. Your music says stuff.
Thank you.
So could you let us in on the backgrounds of the making of that video?
Yeah, absolutely. I definitely always want everything to be open to interpretation, but that film was inspired by a lot of things. The song itself, we can talk about, but the music video itself is inspired by my love for Calavera makeup, which is traditional Day of the Dead makeup. And I filmed it with the intention to release on Day of the Dead. And so I did November 1st or November 2nd, depending on how you celebrate. But that one of the traditions is to take offerings to your ancestors at their grave sites, or to create ofrendas, which are decorative mantelpieces, and putting offerings of things that your family members loved during life. Just an offering to the spirits to basically, for me, it's saying, hey, I'm thinking of you, and this is for you. You're part of my life still. And so, fun fact, the gravesite that they went to is my grandparents' gravesite.
I was going to ask.
Yes, yeah, my weyo and my weya. I couldn't say abuelito or abuelita when I was younger, so or abuela, abuelo. So I call them weyo, weya. And then it just stuck, yeah. So I'm the oldest of 12 grandchildren.
Oh my goodness.
Theirs. So yeah, so I got some naming rights there. And the music video is basically, I've got my cousin in there, my sister, another wonderful local artist, Andrea Garcia. And I worked with her at Sephora, and she did her own makeup, and she is incredible. And she's also Hispanic as well. And we filmed it as everybody taking a different offering to the gravesite, and just kind of dragged it out over lots of different Tacoma places. So you'll see a lot of local alleyways and things like that. There's a lot of art in there. Chris Reike, his street art is in there as well. I love his work. And trying to think if there's anything else, but yeah, so that was the basic concept for it. Yeah,
and that was one of the things that my partner actually mentioned at first, because I was listening to the music, because sure. I love music, and but he took from it, he was like, it's really nice to see places that you recognize in a music video, and to have and pat on the back to you and the production team. Such a high quality video come out of.
Thank you, Paul Morgan.
Thank you, Paul Morgan. I don't know who you are, but thank you.
My videographer and bandmate. Yeah.
We talked a little bit about the production side of it. Mm-hmm. It looks like, so there's a scene towards the middle, the bridge, I would say, of the song, kind of an instrumental portion where it's just legs, just women walking.
Oh, yes.
And,
yeah.
And it scans down, and it is so smooth.
Oh, good.
It is so smooth.
I edited that all myself. So I'm very proud. Thank you
transition.
So much.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. Really good transition. Awesome. And the entire song, I mean, I didn't get the lyrics until we got here today.
Sure.
But the entire song, you could feel it.
Good.
And I think that's
makes me feel great.
That's a very important part to to music, I think, as a whole. And you also on your website, shout out to listeners who like Ben Folds. So if mentioned some of the folks that people might know, I know Ben Folds. I don't know him. Let's be real.
I
wish I knew Ben Folds. I'm like 2 degrees separated.
I love that. I love those stories.
And so if you like Ben Folds' music, you will probably like Victoria's music. You are in all of your videos, right? The two that
I'm
are
not
on
in
YouTube.
Do You Mind? I don't think I'm in Do You Mind at all. No, I'm on the cover for the album art, and someone told me that they were very disappointed that I didn't put myself in the music video. But I was, to be fair, it was a busy day. I was doing everybody else's makeup. There were two other family friends who were in the video as well, two younger daughters of my friend, Cecile. And yeah, I thought about doing it, but just with the time, I always create these crazy deadlines for myself, and I try to do it all myself. And so, yeah, I didn't put myself in the music video for that one, but Only Love I did. And then, oh gosh, now I'm starting to double think. I don't think I put myself in I Thought I Saw You either.
Are you?
Oh, yes, I did. I was performing part of my song for I Thought I Saw You. So I've got, three different videos. I Thought I Saw You, Do You Mind, and then Only Love.
As a busy person, because you're headed out to actually shoot another video.
Yes, I'm going to do lyric videos today Always and Kiss at High Frequency.
Can you let us in on what a lyric video is and what you're planning to do today?
Yeah, absolutely. So lyric videos are typically not meant to be as movement oriented. I mean, they definitely can be. There's lots of ways to get creative with lyric videos, but I really want to... I mean, you've read the lyrics. I really love the lyrics. I really put a lot of thought into these lyrics for Always and Kiss at High Frequency. Not that I, there's never a song that I don't put that thought into it. But one of the things I missed out as an artist was providing lyric videos for my songs. And so with this, with my releases this year, it's one thing that I really want to work on. And so today, I'm going to be getting a little bit creative. I've done a lot of new research about camera angles and video terminology. So I hope, Paul, you'll be very proud of me. But I have been just trying to find an aesthetic too. So as an artist, it's really important that you find a place or a sound or a feeling to incorporate into your brand. And so one of the things that, you know, I love to do is just be creative. So I'm trying to put, I love restrictions. I love putting myself in a box so that I can find a way to climb out or make it morph into something else. And so that's what I'm going to do today. We're going to do primarily static shots, close-ups, or it's called a medium close-up, I guess. And just trying to play with just singing and performing. So I'll be just singing and performing to the camera, and then the lyrics will be on there. And I'm going to try to make that a theme for this year. So, yeah, just trying something new, but trying to stay consistent as well. It's hard when you're wanting to branch out and do something new every single time. But if you're not consistent, a lot of people can't recognize that it's the same person or that it's the same artist. And so just trying to find a link that makes everything make sense together, and that I'm not just, here's this idea for this and that idea for that. So, yeah.
So not hodgepodging, actually having cohesion.
Yeah, like, yes, more cohesion. But and doing more makeup and stuff, too. That's something I just really enjoy doing. And so trying to fit that in a fun way. Yeah.
And you mentioned performance, so mm-hmm. we got to go to that side of things. Where do you typically perform if people want to hear you live?
Yeah, so right now I've been primarily performing, not very much since COVID. but I did perform at McMiniman's in mm-hmm. October of last year. That was super fun with Rocky Sandoval headlining. Very gracious, wonderful artist. And that was such a wonderful experience. It was an all ages show. My daughter got to be there. It was so fun just looking out into the crowd and seeing my wonderful supportive family there. Mm-hmm. But primarily lately I've been playing at Sleight of Hand Cellars in Seattle, and just hoping to do more local things, to reach out to local businesses and places and coffee shops here in Tacoma, because I've heard, yes, my voice is very soothing, so it's okay if you ignore me. In fact, it's probably better for me. I won't get performance anxiety, but I've definitely been working on my craft and coming back into the coffee house and doing, because I used to do open mics and things like that all the time, especially living down in California. But you know, priorities change, life happens, and I'm excited for things to start opening up safely and for people to be able to experience live music again. There's just such a wonderful spirit and energy that comes from witnessing live performance. And I've tried to see as many shows lately as I can as well in order to, you know, gain that perspective back and have those experiences that I can draw from and be inspired by, because there's so many amazing artists in this area as well, that I just want to support now that, you know, in a very real live person sense.
Right.
Yeah.
So, right. Yeah. To be able to actually connect. And well, and there's a connection. Yes. Right. So like, I have artists who I have listened to for years, and it wasn't until I went to their concert that I felt their stuff. And since mm-hmm. your stuff is so, may I say, soulful?
Yes, you may. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Since your stuff is so soulful and so connecting, I would love to hear it live. I'm going to try to make that a point of my personal.
And I'll keep my website updated, victoriafragoso.com, FRAGOSO. And just so that everybody can see where I'm performing next. It's, you know, tough when you're doing multiple jobs or you're trying to do it all yourself. But yeah, definitely going to make that a point. I want people to come and enjoy. Yeah.
And you mentioned your family. Mm-hmm. I was reading a little bit on your website before this interview, that you had had a premature birth.
Yeah.
Do you mind talking about that?
Not at all. Not at all. So I knew that she wasn't growing, and for whatever reason, she just wasn't growing very big, but everything seemed healthy other than weight and size. And so her due date was January 21st of 2019, and I, you know, was thinking, the doctors were telling me, you're probably going to have to come in early, we're probably going to have to do a C-section or, you know, induct, which is to start and birth, but not like naturally. And so I was starting to get used to the idea that that was going to be happening. And I went to LB, Washington. They have a Polar Express train in December.
I've been.
It was so fun. I went with my family, but I was fairly pregnant. And it was December 16th or 17th of 2018. And I remember going and actually feeling fatigued. And I was like, you know, you really need to take it easy from now on. You've got a couple weeks left probably. And I think I was very much in denial. I didn't want everything to happen so soon. Another concern for me, not concern, but something that was on my mind is my grandma had just passed away. And her death date was January 6th. And the date that they gave me for an induction was going to be that same weekend. Mm. And I was like, no, it brought up a lot of emotions for me. I wasn't ready. And then the next day I went in for a checkup and they're like, wow, your blood pressure is unusually high. And I don't normally have high blood pressure. So this was unusual for me. But they had made me go to these appointments to make sure, you know, that everything was on track, especially with her not being very big and not growing very well, or not growing well, but just not growing very big percentile. She was very small. And so I called my husband. He said, oh, they're going to keep me in the hospital. They made me go to the hospital. You know, they just want to do some more tests. I've got high blood pressure. And so he's like, okay, well, you know, I'm coming over. And then by the time he got there, they had told me, you're going to have this baby. And I was like, what? It just was so much to process, so much. But the staff there at Tacoma General was very awesome. My sister is also a NICU nurse, so I knew a little bit about what to expect. So that really helped to prepare me as much as I could be. But, you know, then they started the induction process. They said, oh, you know, it's going to probably take some time. You know, we sent all my family away. They were going to come back the next day. And all of a sudden in the middle of the morning, I think it was like 2 or 3 in the morning, they're like, whoa, no, this is not working. You know, her heart rate keeps dropping and I don't know what to do. I'm not a doctor. So I was like, just, you know, freaking out and, but, you know, very quietly as I do. And, yeah, so then we ended up having a C-section at like 3 in the morning and there she was, 3 pounds, 14 ounces but super healthy. I mean, I could not have been more grateful for the staff there and for the experience. I mean, I really, to be honest with you, when I was in there, I really felt the presence of my grandma and that calmed me so much. It really gave me some peace of mind. And so I just thought everything is going to be okay, or is it going to be like how it's supposed to be? And it turned out great. I mean, I was not very happy that they had to take her back to the NICU later that night because, but that's, you know, for safety reasons, but you know, all things considered, what a wonderful gift just in time for Christmas. So, yeah.
When your daughter was born, you said that it influenced a lot of your music. Can you tell us which songs in specific that
Beautiful,
influenced?
Yes. Yeah. Beautiful Things was one of the very first songs that she inspired. I was changing her diaper and...
As you do.
You know, just humming, singing, trying to distract her so she'd stay still. And yeah, so I started singing, I want nothing but beautiful things for you. And it just kept going and going. And then I was like, this is a song, which is kind of funny because I had the same experience when me and my husband adopted our dog, Mowgli, our first dog. And I started singing to him and wrote a song for him, Little American Eskimo. So cute, but so wild. That's what we call the Mowgli, jungle animal. And so very similar experience. I just, you know, you're overcome by this wonderful, cute little thing in your life and it's just magic. And yeah, so I wrote Beautiful Things for her. That pretty much, I mean, that same probably about 2 months later, but yeah.
So you had also mentioned when we were talking about performances, a little bit of stage fright or anxiety, I think is the word that you used.
Yes.
Can you, let us know a little bit about how that affects you?
Yeah.
How you are working through that and maybe some advice for folks, who may be artists themselves who are a little bit afraid to let their music out into the world.
Yes. I mean, I think anybody who's tried singing in front of other people will know how this feels. Just, you know, your heart starts racing. Mm-hmm. Even now, just thinking about it, my heart is racing. But Piper, my daughter, she's one of the things that helped me kind of get over it, or kind of at least say, like, it's okay to be afraid. A lot of people are, actually, when they go out and perform on stage. But if you keep letting this stop you from sharing your music, I mean, there's really only so far radio, not even radio play, I mean, streaming is going to go, or social media is going to take you, where the real connection happens, like we talked about earlier, is having a live performance and getting to actually share your music live and with all its mistakes and intricacies or changes that you've made. So those details don't always come through over social media or just, you know, in a static form. And so, so yeah, she really just inspired me, like, look at this, you know, really difficult situation that you got through. What is keeping you from, you know, trying things more with your music? It's always been your passion. Why are you just dragging your feet on this, you know? But I have always had performance anxiety, and that's been typically just something that just really bugs the heck out of me, but it does affect me. Typically, like when I was younger, I would like black out. Like if I was going to do a performance and if it was going to turn out okay, I wasn't going to remember it. And if it was, if it was not going to turn out okay, I was going to freeze on stage. And it, you know, I think anybody who's had that happen to you, like freezing in the middle of a conversation or anything, you just feel a little embarrassed, and it doesn't, it really takes you out of the moment, right? People, that's not what people really want to see when you're going to see somebody perform. Nobody really wants to see somebody feeling those emotions and experiencing that kind of like setback of, you have things to say, you have things to share, you have a beautiful voice, you know, play a beautiful instrument, you know, any of those things that, skills that people have, but just the like fear of not being good enough or not being perfect. You just kind of have to let that stuff go. And it doesn't all happen at once, right? But a little by little, you know, the more that you do it, my daughter's been watching this movie called Sing, and one of the characters, Mina, she has got a beautiful, incredible voice, and she is so shy, and she's just really scared to sing in front of people. And one of the other characters, played by Matthew McConaughey, Buster Moon, he says, you just got to go out there and sing. Like, once you start doing it, and then you realize you're doing something you love, you're just, you know, focus on that. Focus on doing the thing that you love. And hopefully the fear will just go away, or it just won't be as important anymore. And I've also been reading a lot of books on this too, Feel the Fear and Do It Anyway, The Artist's Way, just lots of books that are encourage everybody to, you know, look at your fear, ask yourself, why are you feeling this way? What's making you feel so uncomfortable? What's making you feel afraid? And then addressing those fears and saying, well, yes, you could freeze. Yes, you can mess up. But is that the worst thing? And is that a reason not to do it? Not to try?
Right.
So.
No, it's not.
So it's not a reason to not to try. And I love music. There's just nothing. I've had plenty of jobs. There's just nothing that I love more than writing music and playing, mostly for myself. But we're getting to enjoy like live shows. I'm finding a lot of strength and spirit in sharing that music live with other people. Even on my Instagram show that I do every other Tuesday, I do perform live music.
I was just about to ask about that.
It's good practice.
We are hoping to get some of your podcasts over on the radio. So listeners, be ready and prepared for some of the backlog of stuff that Victoria has over on her Instagram. Can you tell us a little bit more about the show, how it works, and a little bit more of where they can find it other than here on the radio?
For sure. Well, I just feel really comfortable with you, so I'll just give you the plain, honest truth. There was an artist that is in the area, Ray Sosa, and he's a wonderful rapper. And I like his attention to lyrics is also very, very clear. And so when I heard his music, I was like, wow, I really want to know what he's thinking when he writes this stuff. I want to ask him all these questions, but I don't want to just like DM him and be just I don't know, annoying, I guess. Yeah. I was like, it's really, honestly, it's a very professional like thing that I, you know, I'm curious about. But so my excuse was basically to start a show. I was like, well, I'm going to do this like live stream show like every other Tuesday. And could you be my first guest, my first interviewer or interviewee? And so, yeah, so that's where it started. And then my husband really helped me to hone in the show and try to figure out what it is that people probably would want to see, how they would want to hear it, how long should the show go. So it usually lasts about an hour. I really try to interview artists on the West Coast, mostly in our area, people that other people haven't heard about, and mostly just to have conversations about creativity and songwriting and what it is to be an artist. I think a lot of the content that most people get is what's mainstream or popular. Right. You have to do a lot of digging in order to find things that are more niche or more area or local, like specific to our region. So that's something that I really wanted to focus on and share with people about, like, hey, we have an incredible artist here. Let's take a look at what we have in our own backyard. Let's help celebrate and uplift a community that needs us, especially during COVID. So it's been awesome. I've just loved talking to all these amazing artists. Everybody's so creative in their own way, and they've got such a unique perspective or story. No one has the same story.
Right.
Let alone as a person, let alone as an artist. It's just that's what makes humans amazing and worth talking to.
The inspirations. I think that, yeah. I mean, if we look back on what we've just talked about today, you've had everything from family to inspiration to a dog inspiring you. Yep. So, I mean, the
inspiration is everywhere.
The idea that everybody here in our community, and it is true, I think there's a lot of folks in the Tacoma West Coasty area who are devoted to their craft, yeah, are open to talking about their mm-hmm. craft, and want to not only share their art with us, but also share the backside of it. Mm-hmm. And I think that, yeah, I mean, it's kind of Seattle area thing,
yeah,
to be artsy. I think that growing, you're, I awesome, grew up here, and, yeah, and it's just the vibe. Everybody, yeah, is artsy in some way, mm-hmm, some shape, some form. And I haven't lived anywhere else, so I can't speak for other places, but that's just sort of the vibe around here. So it's good that you're getting folks. Where? It's on Instagram.
Yes, it's on Instagram. On my Instagram handle is Fragogo Writes Music. I know it gets a little confusing, but Fragogo, so it's Fragogo, G as in ghost, writes like with a pen, and then music. But yeah, so in high school, someone started calling me Fragogo, and then it just kind of stuck like that. So yeah.
That's a cute little nickname.
Thanks, yeah. So yeah, there go by Toya. Toya, okay, is my nickname for Victoria, just because I really don't like the other names that I will not mention. Mm-hmm. But Toya, and also it's, you know, yeah, it's just been what I've been called since childhood. So Victoria, you can call me Victoria, Toya, or Fragogo, if you like.
So other than your podcast that goes on there, what can they find on your Instagram page?
They can find lots of fun things. I definitely love to put covers on there, mini covers, lots of makeup, fun, crazy, weird stuff that I like to do. I like character makeup, and so I try to fit that character to fit a song, like whether it's a vampire or a fortune teller, things like that. So there's a little bit of that going on. What else? And then just sharing general, like, original music. I've got my releases coming out next week, next Thursday, Always and Kiss at High Frequency. So you guys were the very first people to
thank you
to
for the privilege.
Yes. No, thank you.
Victoria, we're wrapping up now. We're coming to the end of it. Is there anything else you would like folks to know about your music, or anything else that folks need to know about your music?
Well, my music is definitely meant to be shared. So if you like it, share it. I think any artist will tell you that. My music, I always want to make anybody who's listening to it feel like they have a friend and feel like they are not alone. I think everybody's had instances where they feel alone, and I certainly have had those experiences as well. And so one thing that I really tried to do when it comes to sharing my music, because before I didn't try to share my music, it was just for me, is to let other people know that they're not alone either, and that there's always somebody willing to listen. And so please feel free to reach out to me via email, DMs, whatever it is. I'm always here to listen, but more importantly, I'm here to share and uplift other people and motivate other people. I remember a very specific experience I had when I was a young kid, and I had some of my friends tell me that I was too depressed, and that didn't really help. They didn't, you know, feel like it was anything other than to say that we can't be friends with you, other than to say, yep, you need help, you know? So when I see or hear stories of where people feel like they can't open up or can't share, you know, you don't always have to share, but if you're, you know, feeling alone, that's the bigger picture for me, to say, you know, there's somebody who will listen and there's somebody who will care. So that's what I like to share and make sure, remind people every day as much as I can, however I can, you know.
Well, and you've been a very, very personable artist, so I appreciate you coming in today. This has been a Artist Spotlight, and my name is Annie, and this is a Shyly Out Loud production. Thank you very much, and you guys take care of yourselves.